Today, how do chatbots affect your brand's stock price? LinkedIn plans to drop polls from its feed. TikTok's new tab might decrease your reach. Cameo lays off 25% of its staff. And the argument for ignoring complaints on Twitter. It's Friday, May 6th. I'm Todd Maffin. Here's what you missed today in digital marketing. We consumers are fickle. We expect the products to be perfect and customer service to be fast and precise. Problem is, people are sometimes neither of those two. So little surprise that many brands have turned to chatbots to supplement, or in some cases, completely replace their human customer service team. Take Aflac, which famously has a duck as a mascot. A couple of years ago, it introduced DuckChat, an AI bot on Facebook Messenger that would help enroll customers. Or Bank of America, that made a chatbot named Erica and set her to work in its mobile app, helping customers with basic banking tasks. There's Levi's, virtual stylist, a bot inside Facebook Messenger. Hell, there's even LubeChat, which no, not what you're thinking. This is actually a B2B chatbot from Shell, which helps share product information for customers of its industrial lubricants. And while a lot of research has gone into how consumers react to chatbot conversations, there hasn't been a lot of study into how the bots make people feel about the company itself. People like investors in the company. That's what Dorema Fotheringham set out to discover. She is co-author of a research study called The Effect of Implementing Chatbot Customer Service on Stock Returns, which was published recently in the Journal of the Academy of Marketing Science. More importantly, though, Dorema also defended her PhD dissertation just a couple of weeks ago. So I'm pleased to say welcome, Dr. Fotheringham.
Thank you, Todd.
So you measured how investors reacted when a company announced that they'd start using chatbots. What did you find?
So we saw a positive bump in stock option price on the day of the event announcement. Investors did see the value that the chatbots could provide to customers and responded with their purchasing power.
Was there any difference between B2C brands and B2B brands?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. Because that was one of the questions that me and my co-author also looked into. And what we found was that this positive bump was especially significant for B2B companies. And as we know, B2B companies are often lagging behind in digital customer experience compared to B2C companies. So these chatbots did provide a really good bump for B2B companies, showing that investors saw the opportunity of increasing customer experience for B2B customers, and we saw that reflected positively in the stock price of these companies.
But there was an exception, though, in your research, was there not? When those chatbots in B2B brands became more human-like, they were anthropomorphized, to use sort of a more clinical term, that the more human a bot was, the less investors liked its use in B2B brands specifically. Did that surprise you?
Well, if you think about the differences between B2B and B2C customers, B2B customers are busy people, and they really prioritize functionality, effectiveness, efficiencies over all these bells and whistles of adding these anthropomorphic features, you know, adding names and sprinkling some personality features. I know some companies were even hiring comics to write jokes for their chatbots. But for B2B customers, all they're interested in is the efficiencies.
Did you study the market reaction to how chatbots were rolled out? I'm thinking like companies that just started the bots up on day one versus those that may have started with a small beta pool of customers.
Yes. And what we found was that a soft launch, a beta launch with a segment of customers, was much more positively received by investors. So investors really valued a more measured approach to implementing such novel technology.
Well, it's certainly interesting research. I'm delighted you could share it with us. Thank you for your time.
Oh, you're welcome. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Dorema Fotheringham is an assistant professor at Texas Tech University. She joined me from her office in Phoenix, Arizona. So you want to engage with your LinkedIn audience? Do not post a poll. LinkedIn members have apparently had enough. The professional network announcing today it is changing its feed algorithm to provide users with a more personalized and content-relevant experience. To start, the algorithm update will reduce the reach of engagement baiting posts, which it refers to as low-quality content. As a result, any content that asks or encourages users to engage with content like likes or reactions will be downgraded. LinkedIn says this content could be misleading and frustrating, and that instead it will be focusing on promoting reliable, credible, and authentic content. This also includes downgrading polls. LinkedIn says it's, quote, heard feedback that there are too many polls in the feed, unquote, and as a result, it will only be showing polls that are helpful and relevant. Next, the algorithm will show more targeted activity from your own network. And finally, the update is striking down political content by giving its users the option to opt out of that content. The platform is testing a feature where the posts will have an I don't want to see this option. In an update that is almost as annoying as when Instagram replaced its notifications tab with the shopping tab, TikTok is replacing its Discover tab with a new Friends tab. Friends, by the way, in TikTok's world, is when you follow someone and they follow you as well. The company has confirmed that the test is being expanded to more users. I got it yesterday. Apart from having to adjust to a new interface, though, how will this change affect brands? It could mean that if users stay specifically to that tab, they will see less of your brand's content. Also, that content will be harder to discover since they are removing the Discover tab. In addition to users finding your brand account, that tab was actually pretty helpful to learn what was trending on the app. Cameo, the platform that allows fans to buy personalized videos from celebrity, has laid off roughly one quarter of its staff. This comes about 24 hours after Snapchat announced a Snap and Cameo advertiser program at its NewFronts presentation. The platform CEO confirmed the layoffs in a tweet. Quote, today has been a brutal day at the office. I made the painful decision to let go 87 beloved members of the Cameo Famio. If you're looking to hire hungry, humble, smart, kind, curious learning machines who love to win, and you see Cameo on their resume, look no further, unquote. TechCrunch reports the layoffs affected all teams within the company, including the senior VP of marketing, the chief product officer, and the chief technology officer. Quoting the CEO again, to support both fan and talent demand during the pandemic lockdowns, Cameo's headcount exploded from just over 100 to nearly 400. We hired a lot of people quickly, and market conditions have rapidly changed since then. Accordingly, we have right-sized the business to reflect the new realities. Between juggling client meetings and keeping up with what's changed in the marketing world, who has time to stress about website security? But security is important. What with bots pummeling your brand site by the hundreds every hour looking for a way in? Kinsta provides managed hosting for WordPress sites, offering lightning-fast load times, top-tier security, and human-only customer support. And thanks to their unlimited free expert-led migrations, Kinsta ensures a smooth transition from other hosting providers so you won't experience any downtime. Ready to experience Kinsta's hosting for yourself? Get your first month free when you sign up at kinsta.com today. It's the perfect opportunity to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses worldwide to power their websites. Visit KINSTA.com to get this limited time offer for new customers on select plans. Don't miss out. Get started for free today. But here's a potential ad buy you probably don't have in your marketing budget. Gas pumps. During its NewFronts presentation, retail digital display company GSTV claimed a reach of 105 million people across the U.S., almost entirely through advertisements at gas stations. This according to Adweek. That's 4 out of 10 adults in the country, and the average consumer pumps 3 times a month. The company says this equates to each customer spending 15 minutes every month viewing its displays. If you're worried about your brand safety and your ad showing up alongside unsettling gas prices, a recent partnership with insights company Affinity found that it is 50% more effective than digital video for campaigns like consumer packaged goods. A partnership with Live Nation Entertainment was also displayed at Shell gas stations with a spotlight of a music artist. According to the artist, within 2 months, Spotify listenership nearly tripled. Social media have brought brands some great things: increased awareness, sales, and a direct communication channel with their customers. But that latter benefit is sometimes a curse, because when things go wrong, Customers are happy to use that channel to complain, sometimes fiercely. The going wisdom, of course, has been for brands under fire to respond, to reply to comments in reviews, thanking the customer for feedback, explaining policy rationale, or sometimes apologizing. But is that the right approach? Are we then publicizing a problem that other customers might not have even known about? That's what Ali Golmohadi set out to study. He is an assistant professor of marketing at the University of North Carolina at Charlotte. He and his colleagues recently published a study called Complaint Publicization in Social Media. I spoke with him earlier this week, and he mentioned that he decided to study this after seeing someone complain on Twitter about a brand that sold picture-hanging adhesive tabs.
When the brand responded to that complaint, the complaint, along with the firm's response, appeared basically moved to the Twitter page of the brand, and it was co-located with a tweet that promoted basically product on that specific aspect. On Twitter, when you post a tweet, let's say you complain about a brand, only your followers would be exposed to that complaint tweet, which I don't know, for an average person, it could be less than 1,000 individuals. But as soon as the brand responds to that complaint, the complaint along with the brand's response would be posted, would appear on the Twitter handle of the brand. For large brands, it could be potential public exposure, visibility to more than like millions of potential audience. We call this phenomena firm-induced complaint publicity. Basically, firm, by responding to the complaint, inadvertently basically increases the visibility, if you will, of the complaint.
Our full conversation went into detail on exactly how to reply to negative feedback, specifically on Twitter, and whether you should use a separate Twitter account for your brand just to handle customer feedback. And lots more topics we covered. That full interview is coming tomorrow exclusively to the premium feed. You can sign up by going to todayindigital.com/premium feed. There's also a link in the episode notes. Sign up today to get 50% off your first month. That's todayindigital.com/premium feed. And finally, Elon Musk's $44 billion takeover of Twitter is currently under review by the FTC. Following concerns about the acquisition's impact on, wait for it, free speech. The U.S. Federal Trade Commission will decide in the next month whether it will pursue an in-depth antitrust investigation. This news coming from Bloomberg. This would delay the closing by months and could trigger even more uncertainty in Twitter's ad business. The FTC declined to comment on the matter. For his part, Musk has not responded to requests for comment, and he hasn't tweeted about it yet. Today, apparently, is the day. I know, I've been talking about this forever. The hot tub, yes. Today, apparently, we are getting the official letter from the senior engineer. We had the deck work done. We had it reinforced. We had the junior engineer come and sign off on everything. We've been waiting a week, more than a week, for this junior engineer to get it on the desk of the senior engineer who can sign off on it. And finally, I will have a piece of paper in my hand that says, if this deck collapses under the weight of the hot tub, I can sue someone. That's basically what I'm looking for, essentially. So hopefully, end of the day, you'll know if you'll follow my Twitter, because that will be all I am talking about. And my Twitter account is @ToddMaffin. Also, if you've got something you want to get out to the thousands of people who listen each day, I will read your classified ad right here. It's just $20. You can book it online. Link in the show notes. Today in Digital Marketing is produced by Engage Q Digital on the traditional territories of the Suquamish First Nation on Vancouver Island in Canada. Our associate producer is Steph Gunn. Production coordination by Sarah Guild. Podcast music licensing by Source Audio. Ad coordination by Red Circle. And our theme composer, Mark Blevis, he is one of my closest friends. But even he's feeling the hard sting of aging. The other day he walks down the street and he says, "Why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle? The rest of my life is so hard." I'm Todd Maffin. Have a restful weekend. I'll see you on Monday. All you need is a friend.